Well, hello again, George Hofford. Man, we've got another goodie coming today. I'm sitting here with my friend, good friend, Bob Terry, former chief of police of this great community that I met when I first, I guess, Bob, first week I was in town. You know, got done, and we started reminiscing offline. We had a good time.
Oh, I had a great time.
But so we have our retired police chief, Bob Terry. And we're gonna talk. I told you off air. This show's about you. It's not about me. And I got to be quiet. And that is gonna be the hardest thing I do.
I've been around you, George. I know how tough it's gonna be.
So welcome, and we're gonna start at age birth. And who are you? And where'd you come from? And let's spend the first time talking about you and your growing up, childhood, friends, passion, interest.
Well, I'll tell you the sort of. Started off a combination that me and my wife, Glenda, have been married for 54 years.
Wow.
And
congratulations to you. Yeah,
thank you. So we have a son named Jordan who had episode 21 years ago, had a heart attack. And he's still with us, and we're still working through that.
But, praise God. Though.
But, you know, we got a great church family over at College Side, and They have a lot of support for us. And our daughter, Shannon, she's a journalism major out at Heck, graduated, and she's doing some promotional stuff for some folks around town, media stuff. She's a hard worker.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's my mother's side of the family hails from Willow Grove.
Mm-hmm.
And oddly enough, my wife's family came from there.
Wow. What's the odds of that?
Well, my wife's grandmother – literally delivered one of my aunts in Willow Grove.
Midwife.
So anyway, so I grew up an Army brat.
Yeah.
My father was in the Army for 21 years.
Okay.
And when he retired back to Livingston, and that's where most of his folks are from. Of course, now they were scattered all over the place at the time. Went to high school at Livingston. That's where I met my wife.
Okay.
And we started dating in high school, and then obviously got married. And after a couple of years of marriage, came down here. And by the way, my wife's name is Glenda, if I didn't mention that.
I was going to say, you better get that in pretty
quick. Get that in because it's a.
Say that one more time.
Glenda.
Glenda, yeah.
Glenda Terry.
Yeah, yeah.
You just, she was a retired special education teacher of 37 years.
Oh, man.
So I don't know who had. She had a little bit tougher job than I did, I think.
Yes, yes, I believe so.
But at any rate, we came down here in 72, and a very good friend of mine from Livingston was working down here, and he said, you need to come be a police officer. I said, I don't know. I don't even like to make people mad, let alone lock them up. And he said, no, you can do this. So I came down, and Bill Blue hired me.
Okay.
And that was in 1972. And, of course, we were married in 1970. And so anyway, I went to work for Bill Blue. They called him Bloody Bill.
Bloody Bill.
And he was as tough as the name was. And, of course, back then the streets rolled up. They rolled up about 11 o'clock, and nothing else happened through the middle of the night. Hardly ever anything happened at night back then.
Oh, sure.
And, of course, as you well know, we've done the growth has been tremendous. It's all been positive.
Phenomenal, isn't it?
We were speaking off a while ago, before we started, about Jerry Abson. One of the unique things about I can say virtually most county sheriffs and most police chiefs just don't get along.
It's the nature of the beast.
But Jerry Abson and I never had a crossword. David Andrews and I never had a crossword.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And nobody was trying to claim the ground, and everybody was willing to give it up and work together. We always had a great working relationship, and Jerry was terrific. David was terrific, and like I said, it really didn't matter to either one of us at the time.
No.
So we've always, and the county government, city government's been a lot the same way.
Mm-hmm.
There's very little quarrel happens between the two of them over what's what and who should do what.
No.
So it's been a real blessing and a good experience. My career just took me all over the map. Everything from being a patrolman, a detective. Went to the drug task force, ran it for about 5 or 6 years.
You had the experience. I mean, you went through a lot of training.
It was the 13th Judicial District, and that's in Cumberland, Overton, Puckett, Pittenham. DeKalb, and Clay counties. Mm-hmm. I think I got them all in there. Mm-hmm. But I did that for several years, and then somewhere along the line, former Chief Bill Benson decided to retire, and they started taking applications. And I was encouraged to take one. It was kind of I was really cautious about taking it because previously to me being there, typically, and it's nationwide, the average chief of police lasts about 6 years nationwide.
Well, I can imagine now with what the world, it's getting smaller, shorter.
But that even goes back.
Even when times were good and simpler. Okay.
Yeah. So, so anyway, I was fortunate enough to be there almost 15.
Wow.
And I had my boss, Jim Shipley, gave me an opportunity and took a chance on me.
Yeah.
And, and before that, we'd. Most chiefs of police have always been brought in from outside.
Yep, yeah.
And I think that, of course, Jim Shipley came in up from the inside. Yeah. And his tenure was like 16 or 17 years.
Oh, yeah.
And so since that time, folks have been brought up from the inside whenever possible.
I think that's great. You know, we talked off air, our good friend Eldon Leslie, my predecessor, 37 years here, came through the ranks, local, two Livingston boys, right?
So, but you know, and to this date, the Chief Randy Evans, who took over after I left, he and I had a great working relationship before he took over. We continued to do. I used the phrase from Angelo Volpe at Tech, and I talked to Angelo one time when he was as he retired as president of Tech, about his relationship with. Bob Bell.
Oh, yeah, I
said something about Bob Bell, and I told Bob, said, if you want to talk about something, you can call me, but he said, I'll never call you with advice. If you want some, I'll give you some.
Yeah.
And so that's why I left with Randy. I said, you'll never call me criticizing you. And I said, if you want to talk about something, you can call me. If you want to complain, you can call me. But I said, you'll never have me tapping on your window saying, why aren't you doing this and doing that? And I tried to explain to all my folks when I left, as I was leaving, you know, there would be a change. Everybody manages things differently.
That's right.
And just, you know, go with it. And Randy's a super, super
Isn't
smart
guy. Isn't he great? We're so blessed. You said something earlier, and I am going to be quiet. I'll try.
Okay.
It's your show, you talk. The community of faith, for instance, the law enforcement community, the government. That story is throughout. We are this wonderful region of people who care about each other, who live and work together. In my experience, I've never experienced anything like this. Usually the county government and the city, you know, they're the same like the sheriff and the police chief. So it's really, but here we work together.
You know, I don't ever forget this. I'll try to get this in a quick way. I was at a council meeting one night, as usual, and one of the new hires was there to be security for the council.
Mm-hmm.
And an issue came up. They talked about it a few minutes. They voted on it. It passed. And this, if the guy, I think he's still here. He came up from Mississippi, and he was a police officer there. And he leaned over and whispered to me. He said, you know how long this would have took I came from? That's what he's talking about. He said, they would have been talking about this for 3 hours and mad when they got through.
No question.
And this whole issue that they were talking about it that night, probably, if I said 15 minutes, I'd be generous giving them time.
Yep.
So that's how cohesive and how well they work together.
And you can feel it. It's in the DNA of our region. When I say region, it's Cookeville, but it's Putnam County, the Upper Cumberland, and state of Tennessee, even though we have three different regions. But it's who we are.
Yeah, I mean, during my tenure, we have helped Overton County Sheriff's Office, White County Sheriff's Office, Sparta Police Department. We had more resources than them.
Well, sure.
And so by virtue of that, it's you don't say no when they need help.
Yeah, we're the big brother. We're the capital. We're the capital of the Upper Commons.
Yeah, it's sort of works out that way. I've had a blessed life and a great, great career and worked for some of the best city people, council people you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
And I would go to Chiefs meetings, Tennessee Association Chiefs meetings in Nashville, and I made a lot of friends down there, and we would get to talking about issues going on at our respective departments, and I would always tell them this, and they'd take about two steps back, scratch their head, and look at me like I was not telling the truth. I said, you know, in almost at whatever period of time it was, I said, I have never been told who to hire, who to fire, who to promote.
Yeah.
And they look at me like, you know, that really, I said, I'm telling you, I said, nobody. Now, occasionally.
Oh, people recommend people. But
people can recommend
people. That's a big difference between recommending.
But every once in a while, a council member would call up and said, look, so-and-so asked if I put in a good word.
And I just put it in.
And he said, I just put it in. So anyway, we had quite a few bumps in the road in 15 years. Somebody got to call me the Teflon Chief because we had gone through so many pretty stiff episodes.
Yeah, but we have a very professional community to be a smaller community at all levels. So yeah. We're down to about a minute or so now. We're going to come back. We had some fun, man. I want to come back. You reminded me of hog rallies and TSSAA and just a lot of. We actually got paid to do what we did. That's why I kept thinking, wow, this isn't a bad. I want to hear more about your faith too, because I've been accused of running a faith based show here, and I don't. I don't make any qualms about that. I thank God for our community. We're going to take a break here in just a second or two and come back and go. And that's where we'll go, Chief. I am so glad you're here. George Hofford, retired Chief Bob Terry. Back soon.
All right.
Well, we're back. George Hofford with retired police chief Bob Terry, and let's pick up where we left off, Bob. I know your faith is very important to you.
Yeah, you know, we don't have enough time today to cover all the ground, but about 21 years ago, our son had a heart attack. He was working at Spanky's.
Sure,
and,
sure.
He lived just a block away, and he was between semesters or whatever it was, time at UTC. And obviously being very biased, he's the best kid you'd ever want to meet.
Amen.
Big old tall, 6'3" kid. Never made anybody mad, always worked with everybody.
Good.
And
yeah.
Everybody couldn't find anybody to like. But at any rate, he was on his way. He went from his home to his apartment. On the way, he decided to go back to Spanky's. On the way back, he had a heart attack.
Wow. Rare. I mean, not
21
rare,
years. 21 yeah. years old, yeah. Had a heart attack, went to the ER, and he had suffered severe brain damage, traumatic brain injury is what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And they managed to save his life, but he's alive with conditions.
Sure, sure.
But during his very, very early ICU days, my wife and I, we would find ourselves crowded with a complete room full of church folks and other family members his friends and stuff. And,
oh, yeah.
And every once in a while, we'd find a quiet moment, and I mentioned to her, I said, you know, I said, the two things are going to happen here. I said, we're going to let this drive us crazy.
That's right.
And nothing good's going to happen. Or I said, we can pull together. And she was very prayerful. She wouldn't talk to the doctor. She said, God has got this.
There you go.
God's going to take care
Childlike
of us.
Childlike faith.
She said, my son's going to be okay.
Amen.
And so we have had tremendous support from our Jefferson Avenue Church family, where we were going at that time. They went to Texas for some treatments, came back, and by that time we had migrated over to College Side.
Sure.
Another, both great
churches. Great churches.
You know, one of the neat things about Cookeville is I've been told by people, is there a church on every corner here? I said, well, yeah, pretty
we're
much.
We're working on it.
We're working on it. So, neither one of us ever blamed God. Nobody said we were being picked on. And I think you and I spoke briefly, you know, if you live long enough, stuff's going to happen to your family.
No question.
It's just, the Bible talks about it. It's
a human condition.
Yep. So he's at home with us, we were at NHC one night, and he was having a particularly bad night before we could get him home. And I will never forget, it was dreary, cold, something like February. And my wife looked at me and she said, my son will not spend the rest of his life in a nursing home. And I thought, I don't know if we're in the same, been to the same place or not.
Mm-hmm.
But everything that she has said would happen has happened.
Wow.
And we still pray that it, God's going to heal him.
Sure.
And that we still have people at College Side and people everywhere.
No question.
Continue to ask about him. He has his own Facebook page. And so what we have gotten from our faith is that, you know, we're going to keep praying. God's been good to us.
Mm-hmm.
He's allowed my wife and I to be healthy, knock on wood. So
sure.
We're very active. And matter of fact, she, I don't know how she does it, but she goes to, our church has a thing called Celebrate Recovery.
Yes, yes.
And it's a catch-all for everything that you may have a problem with. And she goes on Monday nights and mentors a group of ladies. And then she goes back Wednesday to the pantry to hand out food. Then she goes stays Wednesday night and winds up teaching a Bible class.
Yeah, yeah.
And anyway, she's a lot more active than I should be, and it's –
I understand.
Anyway,
usually,
so I plead guilty.
Usually there's a good woman there in the family somewhere. That's right.
So, but anyway, and then everybody's just been so supportive. And the nice thing about a community is that he's not been forgotten.
Exactly.
People still ask. It's rarely we go to church, somebody doesn't come up and say, how's he doing? How's he doing? How's
people
he doing?
People care.
They do.
It's
they
personal.
Genuinely care. And I've often said, and I don't want to get too much on my sleeve here, but I really feel sorry for people that don't have a church family.
Me too.
If you don't have a go-to group of people like that, and you wind up with what life throws at you, I can't imagine what it would be. How
no.
much colder a world it would be if you didn't have that group of folks.
Not preaching, but this is one of the main problems in our country today, in the world. We don't have relationships. We don't know each other like we did growing up.
Oh yeah, it's
now you got a daughter also that came along. I think you told me you're.
Yeah, she graduated from Tech with a journalism degree, and so what she does now is a lot of social media stuff for different businesses here in town.
Sure.
The Putnam Room. I don't think she's much of a media person. There's a lady in Nashville that's a singer. She's been promoting her stuff. She travels around the country.
That's great.
And she's got two or three projects going on, and she likes to say she's sort of like me and sort of like her mama, depending on what day of the week it is.
I understand that.
But fortunately, the good parts of her are like her mama.
I understand that.
But anyway, I've been she's super smart, works hard. Her work ethic is, you know, I'm sounder by computers, but if I need to, I can go wash dishes to get by.
No question.
No, there's no. A
servant mentality.
I have told more than one person that you could literally put Shannon Terry on a flat rock with nothing and she'd make it.
That's right.
So, we've been lucky and blessed. And like I said, my wife, this is the kind of community is my wife spent 9 months in Lufkin, Texas with Jordan getting hyperbaric treatments. And I don't know what the county has now, but at the time they had a leave share program mm-hmm. where you could get into your sick days and whatever. And
yes,
learn.
Yes.
She literally went 9 months without a paycheck.
Yep.
I mean, with a paycheck.
With a paycheck,
I'm sorry,
because of this program.
Everybody, all the teaching community, you know, had a heart. And, you know, so for 9 months she didn't miss a check. And
wow.
Even her sick time ran out probably in the first 30 days.
Well, sure, sure.
So, you know, when you take stuff, you take nuggets like that, you put a bunch of them together, and it's really a big thing. And to what you alluded, there's a, you know, there are a whole lot of new people in town.
There are.
All you got to do is look at traffic, figure that
there
out.
Are.
But there's a nucleus of people
yeah.
that are still here. They still have those close relationships. You know, I still see Jim Shipley occasionally at the grocery store, and we'll make a few snide comments to each other, laugh about it, and go on.
That's right.
I still talk to Tony Peake at the electric department.
Yeah, Tony, yeah,
and then
sure.
Ronnie Kelly. And,
Ron.
And every once in a while, Ronnie, who was over the water department, water and sewer department, he'll send out a group email or text message and get something started to all of us.
Oh, yeah. Well, you said as you were naming those names, I've worked with all those guys, and after you've been in a community for years and begin to feel like it's your community, the years just I can't remember sometime whether that was 2010 or 2015 because it's one big tapestry. That's probably a good thing. So good news is people we're getting some really good people in from around the country who share our values, but we got to be careful. As we grow, that we don't lose what makes us special.
I agree,
and that's hard. That is one of the hardest things that that we've got to do is keep this quality of life. And it's I'm a chamber guy, but I'll tell you, your quality, raising per capita income, making it better. George Hofford with our retired police chief. Be right back. George Hofford with retired police chief and friend, good friend, Bob Terry. When we left the air, we were talking about Cookeville, Putnam County, Upper Cumberland. We're having a tremendous quality growth spurt, trying to raise per capita income, have good jobs. But the challenges of a community like ours, Bob, I want you to talk about that.
One of the things we were always confronted with was there's a formula they go by in Plano, Texas, of all places,
mm-hmm.
says you got this many people, you need this many police officers.
That's right.
Well, you can't do that in Cookeville.
No.
Because the voting population, the residency population is X, and the traffic that comes through here and the people that come here to work and the people that come here to go to school tech. So on any given day, you've got 100,000, 150,000 people coming through, and so it's hard to get your hand wrapped around how to pay for as many people as it takes to take care of that kind of a public coming through.
Sure.
Unless I digress, let me mention this real quick. I get a lot of credit for lasting for 15 years. Bob's had a lot of pats on the back. My wife gets mad at me because she says you won't take a compliment. But the reason I say that is that David Dukes, Mark Maxwell, Randy Evans, Nathan Honeycutt, those guys, I never have told them, they will tell you they never thought they worked for me. We always worked together.
Of course, yeah.
But my motto to them was, look, guys, you see me dry, imagine I can't swim. I'm walking into the deep end of the pool. One of you come get me.
That's right.
Because I'm going to drown.
That's right.
And so one of them would always
Might be a different one next time.
You know, it'll be one day, one the next. But more to your point about people moving in, and, you know, you do, as you well know, being a chamberman, you do one or two things. You either grow or you die.
That's right. There's no standing still.
There's no standing still. And then, but if you grow, then you naturally are going to have growing pains. The population moves up. And as this Upper Cumberland grows, and Cookeville, very unashamedly, is the hub of the Upper Cumberland.
Sure.
And people come here to shop and buy and go to school and have jobs.
Medical care
and all that stuff. So the trick to it is if you've been around for a while, is just not to forget that there's that fundamental core group of people that you grew up with here.
Yeah.
And you know their families.
That's right.
When you mentioned your wife yesterday, I thought, I thought the last time I saw her was at Bob's Body Shop picking up a car.
That's right.
And that's been several years ago.
Oh,
But it's being able to know, to not be mad about the fact that you don't know every doctor in town and who their wife is and who their kids are, or every attorney in town and who they were to and who their kids are. We're moving away from as much of that as we used to have, obviously. But like I said, when we moved here in 1972, it was a completely, completely different world. Not a bad world.
No.
It was just wonderful, but
it was just different, sure.
So you go from a situation where you, if you want to buy a beer, if that's what your prerogative is you back then you couldn't buy you could not buy a cold beer in town.
That's right. That's right.
You had to buy hot beer.
That's right. Yeah.
And you couldn't advertise beer signs in
no
your beer
on
store.
Sundays, probably.
No beer on Sundays.
No beer, that's right. Liquor by before liquor by drink was in, but package stores were not in this county.
No, they were not in this county, and you could they call it brown bagging. That you could brown bag it if you brought your own in. But it's just everything.
The world's changed.
Yeah, but there's. I like to think sometimes about, and this is really going to date me. I almost hate to go there, but some of the ordinances we had on the books, and I'll tell you, this is the quirkiest one that people just really shake their head over. There was once upon a time, there was an ordinance called unlawful cohabitation.
Okay, okay.
And so Susie would call up, and she said, "You need to go over to so-and-so's house. My husband's over there right now with Miss So-and-so, Miss or Mrs. So-and-so." We would sure enough go over there, and you'd knock on the door. She'd come to the door, and you'd say, "Is Jim here?" She'd say, "Yeah, Jim's here." So, well, can I come in? "Oh, come on in." You would literally go back to the bedroom. You'd pull the sheet, you'd pull the bed covers back, and you'd touch both sides of the bed. If both sides of the bed were warm, you'd write a citation.
I had never heard that before.
And you never
it's just part of the law.
Well, you never lost a case because nobody was going to come to court trying to find
it. No. It needs to go.
So
needs to go away.
Needs to go away. We don't have that. But seriously, I mean, it's gone from that mentality to just another stratosphere. And I would be remiss if I didn't say I wish people knew how well oiled the city of Cookeville is as far as a machine.
Oh, it's.
There's checks and balances all over the place. They're scrupulous with the money they spend. They get along. I would go to staff meetings every Wednesday, and there would be like 12 or 13 directors. George, I cannot ever remember a crossword coming out of one of those meetings.
Sure.
For 15 years.
Oh, yeah.
And we all counted each other's friends, and that was one of the things that I usually dreaded on Wednesdays. Go to that staff meeting. That's another one. Now that I'm not there, I miss all the people that sat around the table.
Don't you? Same thing. Same. If you took every time you said city or your job and talked about what I did, which is similar, I mean, in some ways, it's almost like you're talking about my experiences.
Right.
What I we do things with quality. And people care, and they take the time, and I told my wife, I said, "Can you believe this place? I usually try and run you out of town after about 6 months to a year."
Right.
10 years of chamber guys being a change agent is not always the best either. But I had nothing but cooperation, nothing but people who care, disagree without being disagreeable, and I saw that in the city, the county. All branches of government.
Yeah, you know, the only thing that sometimes happens is I find a little bit, I don't know, annoying is that sometimes people are critical of stuff that they don't really understand. There was a lot of criticism about building a police station because some people thought you could take that money and buy a school with it.
That's right. Yeah.
It's two pots of money.
And I'm guilty of this. The height of ignorance, they say, quote, is to have an opinion on something you don't know anything about.
Well, my friend Nathan Honeycutt told me the other night we were talking, he said, "You don't need to talk about the space station if you've not been an astronaut."
That's right.
But at any rate, it's a real interesting dynamic, and it's amazing to me that folks get along as well as they do. And I don't wander the halls of City Hall. I've made it a point.
Where am I? Yeah,
I've made it a point to stay away from them and let them do the thing. But and speaking of longevity, I had 15 years shy of a few months. Chief Evans has now been there at 11.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that there's a lot more security and longevity and more stability in things. And
no question.
Mike Davidson was a great city manager.
Yes,
And James is doing a great job.
Yeah.
James Mills. Last name in there, James. But
great people. Great. Just a great team. Great team over the years.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, so that's let me get this quick plug in too. I told you I might talk a little bit. Amy Blaylock, now Amy New, was an intern for the chamber in tech when I first came here a little after. I don't want to date her. I don't want to age her. So here's a homegrown person who grew up Monterey, went to the state after made a heck of a name for herself in this part of the country and her in her state work, and now she's a chamber young up and coming chamber exec. So here's Eldon Leslie, 37 years, me 20 years. 16, well, somewhere in there. Anyway, and then here comes Amy New. So this is that longevity that you're talking about you see all over this county.
Yeah, and that's a credit to people not having knee-jerk reactions to things and
right.
Shooting from the hip.
Play the long game.
And understand, it's the long game.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Exactly.
And it's doing things for long-term.
I think somebody I heard word somewhere that Peyton Manning had addressed one of the football games that was coming up, and he said they need to play it like it's a marathon because this is not a sprint.
That's right.
So I've been blessed beyond measure. I've got a terrific wife and children.
Yeah.
People still care. People ask about her. The dynamic is people used to ask people, are you Bob Terry's?
Now
it's the other way around.
I got it. And that's a good thing.
Now they're
okay.
Asking me, are you Shannon Terry's dad?
Yeah.
Are you Glenda Terry's husband?
So and proud to say I am.
I'm happily moved into obscurity.
Well, you and I are roughly the same age, give or take a year or two or three or whatever it is. Not going to ask you how old you are. But here's the deal. And it's hard the more competitive one is to enter an era of gratitude. Of thanks, of humble, and that's where it's amazing. I told you about sharing my faith now, and doing things that we're in a good part time of life, Bob.
I was when I had this first got appointed. I didn't see my life past 4 years because I thought, well, that's about it. But I have to be at a chief's meeting and ask the retired chief from Collierville, just mm-hmm. outside of Memphis.
Yeah,
and I asked him. I said, "How'd you ever last 25 years?" I got to know. He said, "Pretty simple." He said, "I picked my fights because there's just so many not worth fighting."
That's right.
And I always tried to figure out what the community wanted me to do.
That's right. Being a servant.
I said, "That's it." He said, "That's it."
Pretty simple. Live one day at a time, one month at a time, and don't look too far in the future. Before we leave, that's the subject of economics and all the growth. Dr. Oldham, president of Tech, said this, and Bob Bell has said it before, and all the past presidents of Tech. Here it is. We have the state's premier technological university. We got all this stuff, and we're graduating all of our kids to go work in Oak Ridge and all these other high-tech type communities. Isn't it nice to begin to see us bringing in these high-tech companies here? And we're going to run out of time here. I'm supposed to give you a signal. Be right back. Thanks, Bob.